Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Athos Life podcast. My name is Giovanni Perriott, and I am with my co-host, Joe Stout, for another episode. I'm just going to start calling you my co-host.
All right, sweet. Let's do it.
I'm just like, Joe Stout again. Yeah, we're doing this enough now that we're he's my co-host. So that's what
Assistant Athos to the host.
Yes. I love it. So today we got a great topic to talk about today. This is something that I think Joe can like talk about specifically, just with all the things that he's invested his life in. And so let's get right into it. I'm going to start off with a little verse just to kind of get our minds like kind of on the topic, and then we can kind of define what we're going to be talking about today. So this is from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 10. That I'm just going to read the first verse. It goes much more into detail, but we'll just start with this. There's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. And it goes into like there's a time to plant, there's a time to reap, there's a time to mourn, there's a time to laugh, like all those types of things.
Right.
So the kind of just the point of this verse and kind of what's going to set our minds for this episode is just the cycles and seasons and then taking a balanced approach to life.
Sure.
In regards to like a healthy lifestyle and fitness.
Right.
So that's kind of what I want to talk about today. So we've got a great topic here, and we're kind of just going to walk through the three different aspects of like fitness that I would say you need to be mentally, physically, and spiritually prepared in.
Yeah.
And you need to be fit in these areas. When we're talking about fitness, we want to always just kind of boil it down to the physical aspect of it. But I think the mental and spiritual aspects are almost more important, and they flow together. So that's what we're going to kind of be talking about today. And so let's just start off with Joe. Let's address mental first.
Sure.
And what you think would be a good preparedness or things that we could do to be mentally prepared. We can talk about study and work, creativity, and then resting. That's going to be a big topic as we're going through here is the resting and the taking the time to rest from all the work. Because I think it could be confused in today's day and age. Rest and then laziness. A lot of people are like, well, I worked for 8 hours today. I'm going to go home and rest. Is an 8 hour day like something that we should be resting from?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there is, but like to what aspect do we just go home and veg out on the TV, on our phones, that type of thing? So that's kind of going to be in each of these three areas, something we're going to be talking about rest. So,
yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the things you just said is in the intro there was that a lot of times we can look at physical activity, especially in our space where we're, you know, these are performance, Mount Athos is performance supplements. And so a lot of the people who would even be listening to this are interested in physical fitness, which is great. But to leave out mental fitness and most importantly, spiritual fitness is to actually sell yourself short, because our physical fitness is a very brief window. We should strive for physical fitness our entire life.
Right.
But our physical body is going to, it's going to peak at some point, and then it's going to start going downhill no matter what we do. And that's not to say it doesn't matter. It's just to say that to recognize the limitation of the physical body. And to a certain extent, that can be true for the mind as well. Certainly, we probably all know a loved one that has struggled with Alzheimer's or dementia or something like that. So there's definitely physical degradation that can happen, or a mental degradation that obviously can happen as well. But in a lot of ways, your mental muscle can be exercised far longer and in far more deliberate ways than just simply your time in the gym.
Right.
Or your time out there, you know, jogging or whatever it is that you're doing physically to stay in shape.
Yeah.
Mental health, mental stamina needs to be worked on all the time.
Yeah.
And that's why the question I would have in my mind in terms of rest is, what is rest?
Yeah.
So not only when should you rest, but what does rest actually look like?
Yeah.
Is it actually restful to veg out on Twitter?
Yeah.
Or X, excuse me.
Yeah.
Is it actually restful, or does it actually mentally tear you down even further than you began when you started scrolling?
Yeah.
And so you need to, I think one of the things we can do that can be very helpful as we think through there is a time and a place for each thing under the sun, there is mental, what mental rest looks like oftentimes is not what we think. I'm not a video game player, but I know a lot of guys will sit down and they'll spend hours playing video games. Yeah. Which there's nothing inherently wrong with video games, but is it actually giving you the rest that you think it is? Most people are familiar with the idea that you actually burn more calories sleeping than you do watching TV. You know, I would assume the same is probably true for when you're scrolling Twitter whatnot. So what is rest, and when should you rest? Because even in rest, that doesn't mean that we should veg.
Yeah.
There's a difference between vegging and resting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, how do you think post, like, school and that type of stuff? Mm. We've kind of, like, have a foundation of knowledge. How much more should you be trying to educate yourself?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm working on improving in my own life is having large spaces of silence. Large spaces where there is not... I live in a house with 10 kids, so there's never, like, true silence, but... one of the things I really try to teach my kids is if you're going to play music, listen to the music. Don't just have it as a background noise that kind of keeps your mind from, you know, a lot of times people are like afraid to have things be too quiet.
Right.
Or they're afraid to like actually be able to hear themselves think because, well, it's intimidating. There's a lot going on. And so even especially people who struggle with loneliness, like, they'll keep the TV on 24/7 because they want to feel like there's other people around. But we live in an age of just constant noise and constant information input. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really important... Cal Newport wrote a book called Digital Minimalism that is helpful in just looking at the fact that the smartphone is affecting our mental state in a way that a lot of us... It was never intended to, but it actually, we end up becoming controlled by it.
Right.
And so I think one of the practical steps we can do is try to find time where you can have silence.
Yeah.
Now, as a Christian, one of the things that I want to do in silence is I want to pray, and I want to have that be time where I am either meditating on God's word, or I am praying scriptures back to God, or I'm, you know, pouring out my heart to him.
Right.
And that could be when I'm driving. That could be first thing when I wake up. It could be before I go to bed at night. But just seek spaces where seek extended spaces of we'll just call it data solitude, where your mind is not receiving new input.
Right.
Because that's what your mind that's actually what real rest is not putting new input into your mind and letting your mind feel free to actually drift and, you know, let your thoughts wander, or, you know, use that time and discipline yourself to pray.
Right.
But if you're just constantly getting that next, like you said, dopamine hit from that next tweet or from that next last like you just got, that it short circuits our brain and it's not restful.
Right. I also think, like, you touched on meditation there. Modern day, like, definition of meditation is like an absence of thought.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, where it should be more of like a focused effort of thought.
Yeah.
Where you're like controlling your mind to think about the specific things.
Yeah.
How you're going to glorify God in your day. Like,
yeah.
If it's morning or night, and thanking God for the things that you went through in the day, and then how could you do better and those types of things. And, because just that absence of thought, it's like, it's almost unproductive. Like,
it's a Christian Buddhist crossover.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because Christians oftentimes will say this kind of very thing, but there's like this Buddhism that's mixed in where you think like, oh, it's nirvana and you just empty yourself of things. And that's not what you're looking for at all. So you're right there.
Yeah. I think that trying to be focused, controlling your mind rather than emptying it would be the goal.
Yeah.
Because it's sure you might have some peace with that if your thoughts are like continually like anxiety or depression or those types of things where you're just like, okay, well, I need a moment where I'm like going to clear my mind. But you should actually be trying to focus on the things that, I mean, that can improve those areas.
Absolutely.
Rather than...
And if you are a knowledge worker, or if you know, your day-to-day is in producing knowledge, or, you know, you're not necessarily doing physical labor all the time, you need big spaces of silence. Silence in terms of data input for your mind to actually work through some of those bigger knowledge things that you're working through. If I'm painting houses all day, I'm going to be reading the whole time. I'm going to be spending some of that time letting, you know, praying.
Right.
But like that, there's a sense in which physical labor, it's a wonderful thing, because you have the opportunity to let your mind do other things while your body does the work.
Right.
But if you're involved, if your day job is in knowledge work, and there is a sense in which at the end of the day you're not necessarily physically tired,
right,
but your mind is very mentally very tired, spent. And the last thing you want to do is now overload it with all this crazy stuff that
right.
you see
yeah,
online.
Exactly.
That is specifically created and designed to hook you in.
Yeah.
It's created and designed to be like mental drugs for your brain. Pornography is like the best example of this. Pornography is literally crack for your brain. If you take crack or you watch porn, both of those things affect your mind in the exact right. same way. And so it's like for your own mental health, yeah. even if you're not a Christian, you shouldn't do drugs right. and you shouldn't do porn. Right. Both of those things are just terrible for your mind.
Yeah, you shouldn't do drugs, which is porn. Like it's yeah. a drug. Yeah,
it's a drug. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. And we can kind of talk about, because we talked to specifics about mental, and I think at the end we can kind of just like wrap up with the cycle of this, like what yeah. it should look like. But we'll move on to physicality now.
Yeah.
And then so we have like diet, medication I have here, and then exercise, and then rest.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of three topics we can talk about in the physical aspect of fitness.
Yeah.
Diet, super important, like mm-hmm. what you're fueling your body with. And as we're talking about like a holistic approach, a lot of people want to isolate these things into little bubbles where it's like, right. I have my mental work, I have my physical stuff, and then I have my spiritual, which could be non-existent in some people.
Right.
So, when it comes to the body, you have, again, a system. And today I feel like with medication and those type of things, we're isolating these things as individual factors. And that's what medication, you're treating the symptoms, you're not necessarily treating the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we're looking at it from a holistic perspective, diet, exercise, and rest should all be something that can be addressed in unison, should be addressed in unison if you're going to try and get to the root of a problem.
Sure.
How do you feel about like that area today in
yeah.
terms of diet and medication?
Yeah. As Christians, we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's nine things there, but those are all the fruit. It's not, those aren't the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit is all of those things. And I think it's telling that self-control comes at the end, because it's kind of like all of those previous things, love, joy, peace, patience, those all come under the guidance of self-control. So
right.
all of those things with self-control. So sometimes we talk about balance or holistic, you know, like that holistic, you know, making sure that you live a balanced life. But really, when it comes down to it, it's self-control is right. the ultimate balancer. And so self-control in what you eat to begin with. So just the amount of food that you eat, it's really important to have self-control there. When you eat, it's really important, again, to have self-control there. If you are just constantly just eating whenever you feel the slightest inkling to eat,
yeah.
you're not exercising self-control.
Right.
Now, that being said, it's good to eat. Yeah. And I don't think, you know, starvation diets are not good. And
right.
and also obsessing over your food to where you can't even be thankful for it.
Right.
That's also not good. So none of those are self, those are, none of those are ways of thinking about diet that are with self-control. And personally, what I like the best is there's a lot of fad. There's a lot of fads in the diet world. I have a bachelor's and a master's in nutrition. And so I see these fads all the time. And diet and nutrition is where I've spent most of my time studying. And there's just tremendous amounts of, it's just so faddish. And
yeah.
And for a lot of people, if they're a content creator or an online influencer, you got to follow the fads because
yeah.
that's where the clicks are.
Right.
There's this deep irony that online influencers are often the most easily influenced.
Right. No, that's true.
But what I like and what I think is timeless and biblical is the practice of fasting.
Okay.
So in terms of diet and in terms of having self-control and not engaging in gluttony, and gluttony can be done by skinny people too.
Right.
If you're trying to control diet or control calories, to do that more through fasting, I think keto's great, paleo's great. Those are. I think they're good foundational diets, right. I've even done keto before myself. But I think fasting has the most historic support, and I think as far as intermittent fasting, I think is where a lot of people can benefit in a tremendous way.
Right.
And intermittent fasting, probably you know what it is. I know you know what it is, yeah. But it's just this idea of just as you would give your mind a space of where it can have a break from data input, you give your digestive system a space where it can have a break from digestive input, where you're not feeding it and it goes through a cycle where you start burning through some of your stores. True intermittent fasting is a minimum of 12 hours, but it's better to shoot, if you can, for 16-hour breaks in between eating.
Right.
And so essentially what that would look like, everybody's going to have a different situation. You might be trying to put on weight, and so intermittent fasting might not be right for you in a particular season of life that you're in. But in just general, I like to try to hit about that 16-hour mark. Yeah. Whereas if you finish your eating by say 8 o'clock in the evening, and then you wait to eat till at least noon the
yeah.
next day.
Right.
I think there's good. What do you think?
No, yeah, I think like you said, it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
Because the way you do it. Because mm-hmm. I had bought into the intermittent fasting thing. I think it's great for you if done right.
Sure.
But I had been doing it for like 2 years where I was like, I wouldn't eat till after 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then like my last meal would be for like 7.
Right.
But I was only eating like 2 or 3 meals. Mm-hmm. And since I wasn't that hungry throughout the day, because I was like, oh, my body got used to it. So I was only eating 3 meals. I was probably getting like 1,500 to 2,000 calories.
Sure.
And like my body adapted to that. And so like my hormone levels were way low sure. than they should have been.
Yeah.
And like it's different for everybody. And then also approaching it in like a cyclical type
yeah.
of thing. Because if you're like looking at the way God created us and the way our ancestors lived, yeah. They were doing things. You had winter, summer, and then you ate differently
Absolutely.
According to the season.
And generally you were doing physical labor.
Right.
Almost always.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you intermittent fasting would not have worked that well
right.
then.
Yeah. Yeah. But then so there's, I mean, ways that we've can like kind of simulate those types of things today. But it doesn't take like an engaged approach.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to pick a diet and stick to it.
Yeah.
You really have to be like purposeful in what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And
in true fasting, so IMF is one thing. IMF is really the big idea behind there is to just not engage in mindless eating.
Yeah.
And so for maybe a guy like you who is seeking maybe to put on more muscle,
yeah,
probably IMF is not the right call
yeah,
because
right.
you need the calories in your body needs to Your body needs, like you said, the hormone levels were off.
Yeah.
For the vast majority of Americans, though, they're probably carrying too much weight.
Oh, for sure.
And IMF can be a great opportunity to fairly easily drop off weight
yep.
without having to feel like, oh, you know, now I can't ever eat with anyone because I've got this weird, you know, grapefruit diet that
right.
I'm following.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
So that's where, but fasting in its historic practice would be just a form of dietary self-control,
yeah.
where you say, okay, for 24 hours or for 48 hours, I'm going to not eat.
Yep.
And I'm going to spend, and for Christians, a good practice is every time I think about food, that's a reminder, pray.
Yeah.
That's a reminder that all food comes from God. Psalm 100, it is, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It's he who made us, not we.
Right.
And it's God who feeds us. And so when we experience that hunger, we go to him in prayer. And fasting is a wonderful thing to engage in, especially if there's a deep spiritual or physical need that you're facing or a decision that you're trying to figure out. As a Christian,
yeah.
we can solve a lot of those issues if we go to the Lord in prayer and with fasting.
Yeah, so. And you're touching on like all three areas there.
Sure, that's
true. You're addressing the mental willpower that you have to have.
Yeah.
The physical aspect of like taking a break and letting yeah. your body like kind of heal itself from mm-hmm. everything you've been eating. And then you also have the spiritual aspect of like you're focusing on something that's
yeah.
greater than you and you're kind of finding your purpose in life
yeah.
and that type of thing. So you're addressing all three. That's just an example of kind of what we're talking about. It's a
yeah.
perfect like example of these three areas that all work together.
Yeah.
And we can't necessarily just box these areas off and be, oh, they come in their own time. They work separately and isolated. No, they work together. Mm-hmm. They're very, they work best when they're working together. And if you're looking at it as from that perspective.
Yeah.
So we'll just touch on exercise real quick. I know we talk about it a lot here, but people need to, you need to exercise more often.
Yeah.
You weren't, like you addressed earlier, our ancestors would be working all day, burning those calories, and they benefited from that active lifestyle.
Right.
And so it's at some point in your lifestyle, you need to be trying to get your exercise in as best you can. That's that simulated, it could be the hunt, simulated work, harvesting the field, that type of thing. Because it's super important. I think we've lost a lot of that today just sitting at desks, you know? So
yeah, and it's you can't rage against the realities of modern life. This is just the world that we live in now, and there's a lot of things to be thankful for that we don't have to worry about starvation in winter.
Yeah,
and like we said earlier, IMF wouldn't work well for our ancestors, but we also probably wouldn't survive if we had to do the physical labor that they did.
Right.
We should be seeking to be physically active as much as we can, I don't have the time to spend doing a tremendous amount of like gym work and things like that. So I try to do as much physical activity as I can and include other people in that.
Right.
For example, this summer we've had an excellent opportunity to do a bunch of backpacking.
Oh, nice.
Which is essentially rucking, right?
Right, absolutely.
And rucking is one of the best forms of physical activity that you can do. And I was able to do that with my kids, and so you're able to kind of stack the different things on top of each other, I love rucking. That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I think people have the temptation to look at it. It was like, well, I need to exercise, and it's like I gotta be a 30-minute, hour-long, intense exercise session. The 3-hour, 4-hour hike that you went on.
Yeah.
What was that? Yep. It's like, that's actually probably better for you.
Right? It's certainly more natural.
Yeah, for sure. It's more about being active.
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask the host a question here. just because you're in a position in your life where exercise is something that you have the time to spend more.
Yeah.
You're able to spend more time on it. So look down the road.
Yep.
Let's look down the road to you being married and you've got kids and you're busy at work. What's the minimum that you would want to see for yourself no matter what?
In terms of like time spent exercising?
Just what would you do, that kind of thing. So because many of our listeners might be in a position where they have a bit more time to spend. An hour in the gym is not a lot.
Right. Right.
For me, an hour in the gym, I just don't have that.
Right,
exactly. I just don't have an hour for the gym, so I have to figure out different ways. So, one of the downsides to that for a guy like me is that because I don't have like the okay, I'm going to be in the gym, and what do you do in the gym? Well, I guess you exercise.
Yeah.
So I have to be more proactive in making sure that I'm actually getting that activity in. Where I've got a timer on my phone or on my watch that every 15 minutes beeps so I can go do 10 burpees.
Right, exactly.
Those kinds of things. What would you see as a minimum amount of exercise that you would want to see for yourself depending on, as you get more busy with your life?
Yeah, I think the busyness would kind of make for the more often and shorter. Because you're always going to have time when you wake up, before you go to bed, and at some point in between your day. And those could vary in duration, but there's studies on this being active throughout the day for certain spots, like you're saying, that hour, like every hour doing 10 burpees, that's going to be as effective as like doing a 30-minute exercise workout or an hour-long workout in the middle of your day.
Yeah.
For me, it would be just that focused idea of let me get in exercise where I can.
Yeah.
Because in the morning, you're always going to have that certain amount of time, whether that's 15 or 30 minutes, where you can like do a quick cardio, just push-ups, pull-ups, burpees.
Yeah.
That's all you need. And then you can do a quick stretch session while you're listening or reading the Bible or something,
Yeah.
And then the same thing for the middle of the day and then at the end.
Yeah.
And I think that could vary from day to day. If I'm going to take the family out on a hike, I'm like, I don't need to work out that day. I'm going to go walk 10 miles,
That's good.
Yeah. I think just having the balanced perspective of like, I can't do one thing is not going to, being so rigid that you're not able to live the life that you're mm-hmm. supposed to be living.
Sure.
I think you can get into that pitfall with physical exercise. You're just like, well, I have to get my lift in today if I want to hit my PR in 3 weeks. It's like, well, what's important? Like, for me, I care about that PR, so I'm not going to do certain things that are going to impact that.
Sure.
Because I can. I can make that value decision where I'm at in my life. But if I have a family and those types of things, you have to be really weighing the balance of which things are important and which are not. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
And then rest on that too. Sundays, there's people nowadays, especially in like MMA, they're like, let's do 7 days a week of exercise because you're only getting better every day.
That's the grind set, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you should be grinding, but you should be grinding so hard that you need that seventh day.
Yeah. What do you think about like the guys that are like, you know, picture of my watch, it's 4 a.m. Now I'm going to, you know, because one of the things I would think, and this might just be because I'm older now, like sleep is really key.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Everybody will say sleep is key, but you get to a point in your life where your body just says, you've been ignoring sleep.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make you sleep.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to make you tired. And so you're going to need to have that rest. I remember taking a neuroscience class where I didn't actually realize this, but there is no scientific reason to explain why we sleep. Like there, you can't, if you ask a neuroscientist, why do we sleep? They will say, we don't actually know why you need to sleep.
Huh.
But if you had to choose between 10 days of no food or 10 days of no sleep, always choose the no food because you will die if you don't have sleep. If you are physically prevented from sleeping, you'll eventually die from that because it's crucial to your life.
Yeah.
Everybody knows this inherently because it's like eventually you get tired and you have to fall asleep. But I think that is God's design for giving us the rest that we need.
Right.
Where, and again, modern world has modern problems.
Yeah.
It used to be the sun went down and you had nothing to do. You went to bed.
Time to go to sleep.
And there was a binaural sleeping. What used to be a thing where you would actually sleep twice in the night, and then everybody would. It would be common for people to be awake in the middle of the night because they went to bed so early. And especially in the northern.
Wow, I never heard of that.
Yeah,
I've actually never heard of that.
Okay, so I think it's called binaural sleeping. It's been a while since I've looked at it, but but the further north or south you are, the less, depending on how much light you have. If the sun goes down at say, you know, relatively like say 6 p.m. your time, and it's not going to get up to, or even earlier, like say 5 a.m. to like 7 p.m. the next 7 a.m. the next day. Well, that's like 14 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Nobody needs 14 hours of sleep. So you'd go to sleep when the sun went down, but then it would be common to wake up in the middle of the night and be a few hours where people would be awake and then they'd go back to sleep again. I'm not sure how common it was, but I know that that's definitely a thing. But the modern world has now let us be able to do work and have lights on and have mental inputs all the time.
Right.
And so unless we, again, thinking of the fruit of the Spirit, unless we exercise that self-control to actually... I think it's actually harder to go to bed than to wake up.
Right. I think so.
Even though it's hard to wake up,
it's
easier to like have that push in the morning, like, I got to get up because if I don't, it's going to ruin the day.
Right.
Whereas I don't have to go to bed. I got other things I could do.
Right. You know? Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, I think, like, I mean, the Jocko Willinks and the David Goggins of the world are just like, control your willpower.
Mm.
I think it's a very important aspect that we don't have enough of today.
Yeah.
But if you're sat, you're going to see the toll of that. If you're like going to bed at 11 p.m. or midnight, and you're waking up at 4:30 in the morning,
or even if you have a family and you're going to bed at 8:30, because you need to wake up at 4 a.m. for some reason.
I mean that. I think that's give and take there. If you're waking up at 4 a.m. You need to set that pattern where you're going to bed earlier. It can't just be something arbitrary. Like, well, I have to wake up 4 a.m. no matter what. And who cares when I go to sleep?
Yeah.
Like you should be planning and prepping for to go to sleep at a decent time.
Sure.
So you're getting minimum of 6 hours.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the meme talks about dad. It's like the first picture is dad bragging about how early he woke up, and then like dad at 4 p.m. and he's just like
sleeping
on his chair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a balance there. Yeah. You have to figure that out. It's but again, the social media, it can make it, gets you really keyed into one aspect.
Sure.
You can really focus on like grind, get that willpower, get that motivation to wake up at 4 a.m. every day, but they're completely ignoring like when you go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then your workouts are going to be terrible if you're like getting your finally get to the gym at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. You haven't you've been up for 16 hours.
Yeah, so. True. To finish off the part on rest, Psalm 127, it it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord, it basically says, it is the Lord that gives his beloved sleep. And so it's vain for us to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. It's vain to do that unless the Lord is the one that's doing the work. And so our rest is actually a gift.
Yeah.
Right. It is a limitation because we are limited creatures. We are finite creatures. And so even though the younger men absolutely can burn the candle on both ends because the glory of young men is their strength.
Cycles and seasons, yeah.
Absolutely. But it's important to remember that you don't want to be laboring in vain.
Yeah.
You want to labor in such a way that is worth it.
Yeah.
Because we want to, you should be grinding, right?
Yep, absolutely.
But you shouldn't be doing it in vain.
Yeah.
And so it's the Lord who establishes that.
Yeah.
And so when you rest, we thank God for the rest that he created us to need.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And so that's kind of first two here, mental and physical. And finally, we'll address spiritual, like the personal, family, and church. A lot of our listeners might not go to church or like be concerned about those types of things. As Christians, we value that as super important. It's the reason that we're focusing on the mental and physical aspects is because the spiritual is so important to us, and we want to be like basically have the least amount of problems with the mental and physical side so that we can be spiritually strong and apt for the things that we need to do during the day, you know. And so, I mean, as a elder in our church, large family, influential in the community, kind of what are your perspectives on like how much we should be, I don't know, yeah, how much and like the value that we should be placing on these spiritual disciplines?
Yeah. You know? So if you had to put these in order of importance, you could debate what's more important, physical or mental.
Yeah.
Because that way, like we said at the beginning, your physical abilities will drop off, but so will your mental abilities. Yeah. But the most important by far is the soul that God has given you that will never die.
Absolutely.
And so our main goal in everything that we do should be the question, is this good for my soul?
Right.
And so when we talk about spiritual health, that's the main thing. Is this good for my soul or not? There's this idea of all things are profitable for me, but not all things are beneficial.
Yep.
Mark Driscoll once said,
Mark
Driscoll once said, this is a great line. Whatever you think of Mark Driscoll, this is a great line. He said, some things aren't sinful, they're just dumb.
Yeah.
And there is a sense in which as men, we can do things that might be not sinful, but they might be dumb.
Yeah.
They might be things that are just bad for us.
Yeah.
And it might not even be something that's explicitly prohibited in Scripture,
but
my soul is not benefiting from this.
Right.
Of course, the primary thing that you do to protect your soul is you find a good church and you devote yourself to the peace and prosperity of that church every Lord's Day. That's your primary means because that's God gave the church the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom, and so it's the church where the soul is guarded and shepherded. Your local church are the ones who have been entrusted to guard your soul. But you also are in charge. We also are in charge of guarding our own souls. And when you become a husband, you have a wife to take care of, and you have children, you got to be guarding their souls. And while your physical and your mental abilities will wax and wane, you'll grow stronger and then you'll grow weaker. There's this cycle that goes through there. Your soul will never die. And your soul, from the moment you're conceived to the moment you die, is always, it's always there and it's always being nourished or it's being famished.
Yeah.
And so that's where whatever you do to take care of your mental health, whatever you do to take care of your physical health, always remember that above all, both of those things is the health of your soul.
Right. Correct.
And so that's where a big part of Mount Athos is rejecting vice.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Because vice destroys your soul.
Yeah.
Rejecting those things, like we've talked about pornography already, we've talked about drug use, these are the kinds of things that they're degenerate, meaning that they'll degenerate you. Yeah. And primarily they'll degenerate your soul.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's like you're saying, for the most important thing is the spiritual thing. I would say the reason that we're focusing on the mental and the mental and the physical mm-hmm. is for the support of the the spiritual.
Absolutely.
If you're weak in your mind, your will, your discipline, your education, your creativity, if you're weak in those areas, it's going to affect your spiritual ability to help your family, lead your family, in mental pursuits. If you have shortcomings in those areas, they're also going to have shortcomings.
Absolutely.
And then same thing for the physicality. If you can't like pick up your kid,
mm-hmm.
How profitable are you as a parent?
Yeah.
You know, those types of things. And so in every, like, I am disciplining my body. Paul says it. I discipline my body and mm-hmm. make it my slave so that when I have, what's the rest of the verse?
I can't think of these things right on the spot.
I know,
spot
yeah.
Like
I, know. yeah no, I started it and then I was like.
Yeah, where am I going with
yeah,
this?
Yeah, but so.
I did that with Psalm 127 earlier.
yeah, so that it won't be in, so I'm not, I have something to show for mm-hmm. what my
right.
purpose, my calling, it's Christ.
Yeah, is that the one where he's talking about, you know, the runner runs to get the crown?
Yes, I think it's, I think it's in that same, same section.
You should look it up.
It's yeah, really good. Look it up. We'll probably post it in the show notes. Giovanni misremembered.
and Joe was no help.
yeah, but disciplined my body and made it my slave. Like that, there was a physical aspect to this, to spiritual calling.
Absolutely. And we reject fully Gnosticism, which says that only the spirit matters.
Yeah, right.
The physical and the mental, really your mental state is part of your physical body.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why it can wax and wane, and you can leave this earth with the mind of a infant because of Alzheimer's or whatever it might be.
Right.
But your soul doesn't. But we also believe as Christians that one day we'll be given resurrected bodies and we'll live eternally in actual physical forms. So our physical body is not unimportant.
Yeah.
It's secondary because, like you already said, it is there to serve the betterment of our soul.
Yeah.
So we do all things under the glory of God, right. including what we do with our physical body,
yep.
which is why something like gluttony or just like, gross obesity or those kinds of things, that's why those things are they're just bad for your soul because they're bad for your body, and God gave you your body. And he gave you your body. A lot of times Christians like to use the metaphor that Paul uses of our bodies being a temple.
Yeah.
That I generally don't go that way because our body is a temple means don't abuse it with sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. That's the specific context. Yeah. It's not just, is that bag of Doritos really good for your temple? But there is a sense in which our body and our mind is connected up with our soul because we are these creatures that have a body, mind, and soul. And because of that, when we nourish and feed our mind or our minds and our bodies, we're feeding, nourishing in some ways our souls.
Yeah.
And that's why Paul even tells husbands, like, take care of your wife as you take care of your own body, because nobody ever hated his own body.
Right. So. Yep. Absolutely. And I think that's the biggest point that we can kind of, if we're talking about the holistic lifestyle, is that end game of being a spiritually fit and like purposeful person. Like as Christians, we know that our purpose on earth is to glorify Christ. And that's in the world of purposelessness and working for a lot of vanity.
Mm.
As Christians, we have the answer for all the things that we're doing. We're able to go throughout our days focused on a higher calling that makes these little details impactful for us. Because I've noticed this with my personal life. If I lose focus of why I'm doing these things, it can quickly simmer out and just fade away. Mm-hmm. And I leave them, I'm like, okay, well, now I'm being lazy and I've lost focus on a bunch of areas.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing that I want to leave you guys with this topic of like a holistic lifestyle of health would be that mindset of everything flowing together for the higher purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most important thing you can do with your life is dedicate it to something higher than you and understand that we were put on earth for a reason.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to do that, you reject vice and you embrace virtue. I mean, that's really that's the key to life is rejecting vice and embracing virtue.
Yep. Yep. And I don't know. You have any other?
No, that's great, man.
To add on that?
Yeah.
All right. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. It was super fun for me to get to talk about these types of things and how they all flow together. I think too often in American culture, we like to block things off and address them individually as separate parts. But I think the more that we can see our bodies, our minds, and our spirituality as a closed system that works together, I think the more physically, spiritually, and mentally fit we will be. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll see you guys again in another one. So stay tuned. Thank you for joining us.